아니, 나만 쳐봐. 그치? 나만 쳐. 인마다. 인예리아. 나만 쳐. 나만 쳐. 소재프티기 쉬사라치. 나 인마다. 나 냠낸 쟤기 림바디. 냠소나 림바디. 가르스네다. 난 기위 신인 된수다. 네? 된쟁기. 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 로장기 림바사치. 되지. 나 기위 신인 된수 가상으로. 인예리아 쉬사라치. 아다 안다디니 나디니 마 카르스네다 안주게디 다 냠넨 제발라 띵 쳬바쳔 구요 아주 띵 쳬바쳔 대주기 뒤디세디 안디스마 아니 띵 쳬바쳔 고스네디 고마슈고레
Good evening. We're continuing to look at this text that of the Lama Chöpa. We finished a couple of weeks ago a substantial section wherein one was making supplications to the Lama after having reflected on his many good qualities and kindness and so forth. And now, having created or made those requests for the trainings to transform ourselves, we come to that actual section of that has been built up to this point, which is to receive instruction on how to transform our minds through cultivating all the levels of training to engage in to achieve enlightenment. So this is the section that we've come to now on page 15, the meditation on the graduated stages to enlightenment. Last week we looked at the first, which is the training in relation to our spiritual teacher. And tonight we'll come to the second in verse 85, looking at this precious human life that we've achieved, that's marked with freedoms and endowments. Before continuing with the text, it's useful to recap the point of meditation on reflecting on the spiritual teacher. So the section that we have been looking at and what we looked at in the preceding verse in a brief way last week. So the meditation has a number of stages, a number of steps. And the first is to reflect on the benefits of relying on a teacher and the faults of not doing so. And the benefits include that one comes to understand the Dharma, and secondly, learn how to integrate it through meditation, integrate it into our very way of thinking, and thereby create the causes for, at the very least, further good rebirths, life after life. Moreover, to create the causes to attain liberation and enlightenment itself. And the faults of not relying on a teacher are that all of this is not achieved. Thereafter in the meditation, after reflecting on the benefits and faults of relying on a teacher, one goes reflects on his various qualities, and these are presented in detail in the preceding section, as well as the tremendous kindness that he's shown us. And the purpose of reflecting on his qualities and kindness is so as to generate a mind of trust in him or faith in him. This is essential so that we open and become open and receptive to his teachings and his guidance. Then thirdly, the third section one looks at is to train the mind so as not to focus on faults and criticize him, but rather to focus on the vastly greater good qualities. And the way to then, one reflects on all of these, using the meditator's two indispensable friends of mindfulness and vigilant introspection, where one, with mindfulness, keeps one's mind on the topic, and with introspection ensures that one is staying on the topic, and thereby can investigate deeply. And also, with the second aspect of mindfulness, recalls the teachings one once had, so that one is able to analyze and investigate the various points that have just been mentioned. So that is what we've looked at most recently, how to rely on the spiritual teacher. Just before I say what Genla said, I missed a point earlier. The very first point in the analytical meditation is to remind ourselves that before reflecting on the benefits and faults of relying and not relying on a teacher, is to remind oneself that a lama is indivisible from the merit field that one has visualized right at the start of this practice. So now to come to what Genla has just said, the various points of the meditation from that second one, which is reflecting on the benefits of relying and the faults of not relying, then moving into recalling his qualities and kindness, and thereafter through generating trust. The fourth point is to guard one's mind against seeing faults and rather focus on his many good qualities. So those processes there or analytical meditation, where one's taken the knowledge that one has gained in teachings and is investigating that, applying that reasoning, seeing its validity, and integrating it into our very way of thinking. The culmination of each meditation on this point, then, is with the arisal of stable faith or trust in our teacher. All those points of analysis, they serve to generate the stable trust in our teacher. So the stable trust is the result of the analysis. And the depth and stability of that trust or faith comes about in dependence on the depth and frequency of the analytical meditation that we do. Then each meditation session is primarily analytical meditation, but concludes with placement meditation, where one abides single-pointedly on the conclusion of the meditation, which in the context of relying on a spiritual teacher, concludes with stable trust or faith in our teacher. Seeing him, now we tie to the very first point in the analytical meditation, seeing him as indivisible in nature from the entire merit field. And this is where we place our mind, this feeling of trust, or this mind of faith that has arisen. We abide on that. We place our mind single-pointedly on that. And this is how each meditation concludes, and this is in the context of relying on a teacher. It ends with a placement meditation in this way, where we, through placing our mind on the resulting conclusion of the meditation, we strengthen our familiarity with this way of thinking. In other words, we strengthen our familiarity with the mind of deep trust in our teacher.
And the name is Adana Jugi India Yamlinger, Yamlinzo, India, Lea, the Cargos, and Ting is in Shinier to go over, Ting is in Shinier to Tombany, then the Tombany will be Shinier to come to Tenet, and then you mop up Tarba, the Tamchi came to go over. Then the name is that another Tangbun Yamlin Chirino go give Shinin, then to come to come to near Delia, me petition to Tampa, the Shin, Tenja Lamalia. Debatichu,
The point I have just made about the relationship between analytical and placement meditation, I've mentioned several times over the years, but I want to emphasize it now because it's important that you utilize this in each of your meditation sessions. So I'll emphasize it by talking a little further about the importance, the benefits of this. So first, the meaning of the word meditation is that its synonyms are habituation or familiarization. So we familiarize ourselves with a topic. We become habituated to that topic so that it's integrated within us. That is the meaning of meditation. And so we do this through analysis, where we come to truly understand and have a way of thinking integrated within us. And we also do it through placement meditation, where when we have generated, in the context of the relying on the teacher, the mind of faith in him, we become habituated to this mind of faith in our teacher that we have generated through analysis. We become habituated to it by placement meditation, by abiding on this mind of faith. Now, why this is so important is because up to this point in the meditation, we've been doing analysis, so using minds of wisdom or intelligence. Now, we come to use the mind of concentration. And we've been using concentration too through mindfulness, but now this is the part that is emphasized. And this is important because, as is often said, all the Buddha's teachings are taught with the single purpose of leading us to cultivate wisdom. So too here. By focusing at the end of the meditation, on placement meditation, we're strengthening our mind of concentration or meditative stabilization. And eventually, in our training, we'll come to the point where we put all our other meditation topics aside, because we have developed them so strongly within us, we are now ready to develop calm abiding, to focus on calm abiding. So I'm presenting how you do your meditation, whatever the topic is, in this context, relying on the teacher, is it culminates with developing our mental factor of meditative stabilization or concentration. Then, eventually, when we've developed many good qualities within us, including a strong mind of trust in our teacher, we will have also developed our concentration substantially. And that will aid us in the culmination or the development of calm abiding, single-pointed concentration. And why that is so important, amongst the many reasons, is primarily because once we have developed calm abiding, we develop it a little further, and we develop meditative insight. And with the union of the two, calm abiding and meditative insight, our realization of emptiness becomes particularly powerful and transformative. And it's with such a powerful mind that we can actually come to realize emptiness directly and abandon completely our afflictions together with their seeds and attain liberation. That is the purpose of the Dharma, to attain liberation and even enlightenment. This requires the union of calm abiding meditative insight, and to achieve that, one needs many good qualities, like relying on a teacher, as well as strong concentration. So this is why I encourage you to do each of your meditation sessions, both with analytical and placement meditation. Now turning to the text, to verse 85. Please bless me to realize how this body of liberties and endowments is found but once, it's difficult to obtain, and is easily lost, and partake of its essence, make it worthwhile, undistracted by the meaningless affairs of this life. The meaning in brief here is that this body, this life that we have achieved has come with an incredible potential. But this potential is unrecognized by almost everyone. So this verse here serves to introduce us to our potential, help us to come to recognize this incredible potential that this life presents. A physical basis is shared by the vast majority of beings, humans, animals, and so forth. But it's this human rebirth, and in particular within some, amongst all humans, only some have the kind of rebirth that is being referred to here, and that's in our first line, a body marked with liberties and endowments. So this having liberties and endowments is something not shared amongst even all humans. The This term liberties and endowments, or often translated liberties, is often translated as freedoms, and endowments, also often translated as opportunities, have specific meanings. So there's a list of 8 liberties and 10 endowments. But to briefly describe what liberties or freedoms refers to, is that people such as ourselves have liberty, we have freedom. And what that means is we have the time, the opportunity, and the capacity to hear teachings on the Dharma and meditate on them. That is the freedom that we have, or the liberty that we have. Because, for example, some people are deaf or blind, and therefore they cannot hear teachings or read Dharma texts. There are others who have really difficult material conditions, and therefore their life is consumed with just sustaining themselves and trying to sustain their children. And there are others who have heard about the Dharma, have an interest in the Dharma, but they live in a place where the Dharma doesn't exist. They may wish to go to teachings, but they don't have access to teachings. Just like perhaps if someone wants to study a particular university course, but the universities that they can get into don't offer it. What can they do? But we have freedom. We have liberty in that we have the time, we have the opportunity, and we have the capacity to both hear teachings and meditate on them.
And in that,
Here, this term we have as body really refers not so much to the physical basis, but the mind that is contained within that physical basis. This is what is quite extraordinary within human beings, and that we ourselves do not suffer from the lack of freedom or liberty of having a severe mental impediment means that we have this incredible human intelligence, which in brief means we can think for ourselves, we can think deeply, which means we can hear profound teachings and we can understand them. Or if we struggle to, through effort, repeatedly, we will come to understand them. And we can understand them through looking at their validity in relation to our own lived experience, as well as what we perceive around us. And in this way, we can come to understand some really remarkable and profound truths. This is what marks out the human rebirth as particularly phenomenal, this incredible intelligence and the capacity that comes with that.
And 那啥我了怕着呀，啥刚刚着呀？现在俺这米给干什么？弄白雪大爷，啥白雪大爷，去白雪大爷，没白雪，白雪地里白雪大爷，俺做了过后，听见说就吐过了吧？刚刚地上那干嘛忙活，说谁吐过了吧？现在地上这米给三六给南边一头的地界的地用过来，地界的三六南边给好过吧？去好过那地里，这就绿给，如果是靠苏北给白雪大街，那天天加拿大给车上住起来，他去些加拿大，老些加拿大，杭州也住起住呢。 必须当土狗了的，第一米绿级原点第一团呢，南极团呢绿级必须当起，等于出土狗了吧？那深圳深圳同桌了，今天给矿上做了苏北的那个去解决个那些呢，起码到南极必须当的苏北话呢，就出现这一面了吧？假如可是看仓库这个就是水嘛的先，看下水土也明多的，就是。
咱俺这个米呢，差外一百差外呢，差了就赚钱就算了。这个这个差外收入呢，真涨了算，真收钱就算了。俺这里给赚收入吧。就咱同桌来点的算买了吧。俺那俺这三级就面那块儿要买那点嘞，买到大东庄一新大明桥这边，明桥算有了吧？咱咱没事了，咱都算有了吧。同桌来点的算买了吧。看看姐那点啥，起码都先矿上头啥不带，南区必须当要么南区三门的块位呢，可是不有他那必须当退休要买了吧？就咱当俺这米里开始呢，但是咱南区必须修，就必须当有的吧？去旅店的了，南区必须当旅店第一趟呢，修住退休的呢。就咱俺这南区必须当旅店了，旅店得了点呢，南区必须当要留个了吧？今天咱当俺这里啊。
So if we look at the world of seen beings, not the unseen but the seen beings, comparing humans to animals, certainly in terms of physical capacity, varying types of animals have qualities, physical qualities, that far exceed ourselves. Some in terms of speed, others in terms of strength, others in terms of flight, others in terms of capacity to remain underwater, as well as some mental qualities such as understanding direction in a way that we do not. But really, if we don't look at body, but we look at mind, in particular intelligence, here there is a vast difference where human beings as a class are vastly superior to the entire animal kingdom. Human beings are particularly adept at identifying problems, including subtle unseen problems, and coming up with solutions. Also, human beings are particularly adept at looking for opportunities to improve their life as well as the lives of others, and then creating solutions to creating ways in which to fulfill these opportunities. We just need to look in our lifetimes at the advance in technology, the complete transformation of the world through technology in our lifetimes. It's really quite remarkable. And this has come about in dependence on human intelligence and our capacity to use our rather limited bodies to do incredible things. Here, if we compare ourselves to animals, there are those who can fly and we cannot. But with our intelligence and our capacity to use our bodies in incredible ways, we can fly further than any bird. We can fly to other continents, which they cannot do, and these days, a few people can fly even to outer space. We can go deeper in the oceans than any single fish. We can go to the top of mountains. No, there's no single animal that can do all of this. So with this incredible intelligence, we've put this body to good use. Now tonight, the weather is particularly cold. All of you, us too, wearing thick clothing, appropriate to this weather. We are sitting indoors. We have heating on. But we think of the animals outside. Well, the birds can puff themselves up a bit, but that's all. Kangaroos, well, perhaps They huddle a bit closer together in their mob, but that's all. They lack our intelligence, and they lack the capacity to use their body intelligently. And it's these differences that mark us out, mark this life that we have out as so valuable, so precious, because of what this incredible human intelligence is capable of.
Chasana Pradi Dingi Deva Tarbi Gova Toya Dia, Manzu Ludin Deletine, and the Gomchine, some new Gomchine, and took to Gore. That is Simjan Tamji Dandala Pembertuya Dandala, and Sanju Gova Toya Dia, Manzu Ludin Delia, some of Tavitone, and Gomja to do to Gore. Chasanazu Ludin Delatine, Delia, Manzu Namji reported some of the Bejetang, Ludin D. Din Delia, Bejetang Gombaina, Se Dedang, Yawa Chimatang. And Tarbadang, and Tamji Kimbo, Toyagi, Chasan, Dutu or less. Chisan, Manju Ludindel, Dutu, Dunig Ludindel, Dinne Dutuya Mares, Dutuya Goya Mares, Chesan Mevanzada, Dinne Sanganju Ludindel, Masiki Beju Chimbojida, Ludindel, Tibet, Namju Beju Tanya, Dutu was a Ludin Didi, the Dela Delia, and the Chick, she all chick done that chimbo to two of the Chabachan.
What I've presented thus far, all of us have the intelligence to understand this is true. We can think about our own lived experience as well as what we perceive around us, and we can see that it's true. And as human beings, not only can we do that, but as human beings, we have the capacity to think beyond this life and to think about our future lives. So we can also have the capacity to recognize that the reason we have the life we do and not something completely different is because of causes that have been accumulated, that we accumulated in past lives. And therefore, we, through identifying those causes, have the capacity to not just identify them, but focus on accumulating them again to ensure that in our future lives, we have a rebirth as similar to this one. And moreover, we have the capacity to hear teachings and reflect on their meaning and thereby identify the breadth of suffering in samsara, seeing that there is no essence anywhere in samsara. And all the suffering comes from one root cause. But this root cause, we can also, through study, come to recognize it has an antidote. And that antidote, a mind of wisdom, is something that we all have the capacity to develop. And through developing it, we can gain freedom from suffering in its entirety. This is something we can all do. Not only do we have the capacity to understand these teachings, but we have the capacity to develop such teachings within us and gain freedom from suffering. And moreover, we have the capacity to understand the teachings that present this in a broader context, recognizing that each and every being is suffering in the vast variety of ways that we've come to identify. And they too are suffering for the same reason, and they too will benefit from coming to understand and cultivate themselves the same antidote that we are cultivating. So therefore, we can commit to striving for enlightenment so that we can become completely liberated ourselves and help others to attain the same state of liberation. So in this way, with this basis of this human life, particularly this mental capacity, we have the ideal opportunity to accumulate the causes for liberation from suffering and enlightenment itself, and thereby be of truly remarkable benefit in the lives of others. No other being can do this. Certainly no other being in that we have ever perceived. No being has the quality of situation that we do. And what I've presented here is something that isn't readily visible, obvious to us. It's not how we perceive our life. But through reflection, we can come to recognize how true this is. So hearing these teachings, then meditating on them, is transformative, realizing the incredible potential that we all possess. This is such an important topic for everyone to reflect on, because what we have, we don't recognize. On one hand, we take so much for granted, but on another hand, on looking at it from another perspective, we also have a feeling of being quite limited, of being quite inadequate, often comparing ourselves to others, taking in a lot of negative criticism that, and comments that we've heard over our life, we feel unduly restrained. And this really, from the perspective of the Dharma, is a great shame. Because this incredible capacity that we all possess largely goes unused. And especially for those of us who have an interest in the Dharma, the full capacity, the full potential of a human life is available for all of us. There's no one who cannot achieve remarkable things with their mind in whatever remains of this life. This is a capacity that with full human intelligence, every human being can achieve. So I really encourage you to reflect on what's being presented in this class, because it is not how people go through their lives, especially those who are troubled with depression. But even though those who do not have such a burden, people largely feel that their capacity is quite limited. They feel quite small. But this is a deep a misapprehension of reality. So compare yourselves to animals. Compare yourself to the situation amongst the vast majority of human beings. See how different things are for you. In particular then, thinking about your intelligence and what can be achieved with it in terms of understanding the Dharma and thereby accumulating the causes for liberation and enlightenment, which is possible with this body. So the purpose of this meditation is twofold. One is to bring a deep inner confidence through recognizing how remarkable the potential is that we hold. And then secondly, to focus on what is truly meaningful so that we don't waste this potential, because we do have things in our lives that we value and that we see are precious, not just in terms of value, but are of great use and dear to us. Those we guard well and we utilize well. And when we recognize our human life marked with this incredible intelligence and our entirety of liberties and endowments, we will not let them go to waste by being distracted by the meaningless, but will focus on what has great purpose. So this is why we need to concentrate on this meditation. So this life that we have achieved is found but once, which we come to recognize by seeing how few beings have a life where the potential is what ours is. So this way we come to recognize how very rare it is. And not only is it rare, it is also exceedingly difficult to obtain. And the reason that it's so difficult to obtain is due to the causes that have to be accumulated to lead to a rebirth such as this. So just like in our regular life, things that are very useful but are rare, they are seen as precious. And where something is useful but rare, the causes that are required to bring about this, whatever it is that's useful, those are difficult to gather, hence it is rare. And for this reason, something useful but rare is seen as precious. By reflecting on how difficult it is to accumulate the causes fully to achieve a rebirth like we have, this will aid our coming to see this life and its potential as precious, as valuable. These additional points that it's found at once and is difficult to obtain need to be reflected on, because it's all too easy to take this life for granted. Even if you recognize what can be achieved with it, one can take it for granted thinking, oh, next life, I'll make some aspiration, next life I'll do it. This is a grave mistake. So not to take it for granted, to come to recognize that it will be difficult to achieve a rebirth as perfect as this one, again, we need to reflect on the causes that all need to be accumulated so as to have an opportunity as good as the one we have. Those causes, there are five. The first is that of ethical restraint. The second is that of generosity. The third is patience. The fourth is joyous perseverance. And the fifth is prayers. All five of these need to be accumulated well so as to achieve an excellent rebirth such as we have. By recognizing what each of these causes entails, we come to recognize that to accumulate those causes is difficult. Hence, there is no certainty that a rebirth as good as this one will be achieved in our next life.
제야 고업라는데 야보래 대야지 바라대 긴한 체지 시선반나 아니 아주 제야 말 공경 시부라 고 진짜 다디는 아주 강토도 냠는 제바이나 아니 교회 말 진짜 니제 고 계신 분이 예수다 니야가 뉴도 지라스 되는게 술도 아니야서 되는게 니수되게 파 세부하고 그래서 되는게 안나 하고 저 그래서 그래
In our second line, several points of analysis, points to be meditated on, analyzed, are presented. The first is that this life is found but once, in other words, it's very rare, that it's difficult to obtain, in other words, because of all the causes that need to be accumulated properly, it's difficult to obtain. And then thirdly, that this life is easily lost. So this is the third key point in this line that needs to be reflected on again and again. So everyone here recognizes death will come, we will all die. By me saying this is not news to anyone. But what we do not recognize is that the time of death is uncertain. Again, intellectually, everyone will agree with that. No one can give the date and time of their death or the manner of their death. But we don't live with that knowledge. Rather, we live with the false apprehension of, I have an expanse of time before me. In fact, if we really look, the belief is, I have an extensive expanse of time before me. And the grave danger of this delusion is that it has a companion, which is, well, I'm busy now. I really don't have spare time. I have work commitments and I have family commitments and I have social commitments. And between those three, my time and energy is filled. So therefore, the Dharma is important. My life has tremendous potential. But in a few years' time, or in a retreat in the coming months. And we delay and we procrastinate. And in this way, our life passes, and unexpectedly death comes. None of us can say for certain when we'll die. There's an average life expectancy in our country to the mid-80s, but no one can say for certain where we will fall on that side of average. None of us can say for certain whether we will live out the lifespan of our parents or not, nor the quality of the years that probably lie before us. And what makes this, should make it very clear to us in meditation is when we reflect on how few reasons there are for sustaining life. We know we need to eat nutritious food, and we need to exercise, and we need to take certain precautions to keep ourselves safe. But that's kind of it. The rest is beyond our control. We see regularly people dying unexpectedly from accidents and certainly from illness. This has been so evident, so visible in the last few years. And moreover, even activities we engage in to sustain our life can lead to unexpected death. People may eat something and get sick from it or choke from it and die. People engage in activities they do for good health, such as exercise or sports for fun, and have an accident, and either they die or they become disabled. So these things, whilst not common, they happen. And we have no certainty when this life will end. So these two parts of the meditation, coming to recognize the great value of this life and our incredible potential, but that it is finite, and that the end of this life could come at any time. When you bring these two together, the result is I need to apply myself to the Dharma in order to accumulate the causes for good rebirths and spiritual development. And I need to do so right now. I cannot delay any further. So much of this life has passed, and I do not know what lies before me, how much time I have, nor the quality of my health. And the outcome then of these reflections is that we firstly come to recognize what we've achieved, what we've attained. And secondly, we do not take it for granted, but rather we put what remains of this life to the best possible use. Even if we do live a long life, perhaps to 100 years, what we need to reflect on here is that our body changes momentarily. This isn't something that's so obvious to us. We don't really live with this understanding, but we know from science this is true, and we know from our own observation that this body changes. We can all compare ourselves to when we were young, and how different our body felt then, how different our energy was then, how much more supple and stronger we were, and how quickly we recovered from physical difficulties. Also how different our mind was, how easy it was to learn, how easy it was to develop skills. We've seen that change, and we know the direction it's heading in. It's not going to get easier. And the truth is, by the time one is quite advanced in years, if one hasn't developed a good meditation habit and good experience in meditation, developed some experience of the varying topics, it will be difficult to newly develop those. So therefore, we need to utilize these good years that we hopefully have before us, utilize them well, develop habituation or familiarization to these topics, so that when our memory is not as good as it is now, we have deep-seated imprints from this life that we can call on, keep our mind virtuous, continue to accumulate merit. So here, in this part of the reflection, we come to recognize this process of change that we've observed and recognize the direction of travel, so that even if we do have years ahead of us, that our current physical condition and mental condition is probably likely to be as good as it's going to get. We think like this so as to encourage us to use what remains of this life, particularly these better years that hopefully lie before us, to use them well.
Then you lead in the
and the wrong that you did about Sam, and the negator, this way near Gawa Yimba, and then Jilawa Yimba, Kichi, Chibi, and Tutik, do to the Sang Dan, to do Sine, Sang Dan, Jebache, Chibi, and this way, and then Tachimba Yimba, and Chi, near Gawa Yimba, knew the Jilawa Yimba, how could he ever do it? They are going and Garjewa, the Garjewa.
你借了一样借都是借掉的那全人的借过不然嘛的全人的借过嘛的那叫我起码当他把他们借给我过吧这些我就就吐嘛的其他杂情不借了旅店的必须当吐过嘛的那样子借地怎么借啥也同样当借地怎么借怎么了呀你过好起码对吧借那没有玩儿全人的宁波连吧全人的电笔你不全人的电笔是借我起码那借旅店也不一样呀当他把他们借给我过吧他们他比过吧他们借给我过吧他们借给我过吧他们借给你特别有具体的怕全人的电笔的是现在你具体你们的借过你不借过的怕你们的借过的借钱不的也是我都是现在都是现在的借过的也是送过的
The second line of the Tibetan concludes with something we have in the first line, to realize how. What has been realized then, or understood well, are these four general topics that have been covered thus far. So firstly, recognizing the freedoms and or liberties and endowments that we have attained, and thereby the incredible potential that we have to transform our minds, to ease the suffering that we experience and help others to do the same too and take great strides to achieving liberation and enlightenment itself. This is the potential that we all possess. So that was the first point. The second, though, is that this is incredibly rare. It's found but once, which emphasizes its great rarity, and we recognize this through what we observe, how few humans have this potential because they lack interest in the Dharma. And certainly animals do not. And then thirdly, that it is difficult to obtain because the five causes have to be accumulated and accumulated well. And that it's easily lost is the fourth point, which is that it momentarily changes. And that we need to recognize this clearly so that it has a transformative impact on us. So these are the four points that need to be realized. Then moving to the next line, which for us is the fourth line, undistracted by the meaningless affairs of this life. So here we look at where so much of our time thus far has gone, in particular what we are thinking about, so where our mental energy has gone, and come to recognize that some of it we have to engage in, because we need to sustain this life. We need to accumulate the essentials for life. So this is needed. But the vast majority of our time is taken up with mental energy and physical energy, where we are thinking about gaining delights and enjoyments for this one life, or perhaps for the day, or just the moment. And in this way, we have spent so much of our life not just focused on gathering the essentials, but rather overwhelmed by the delights of the world or the marvels of this world. And now, through what we've recognized up to this point in this meditation, we can then come to see that largely where our mental focus has been on such things and not on gathering the causes for liberation and enlightenment. As we go about our daily life, we are largely consumed with meaningless affairs. In other words, on thinking about the problems of the day and the things we'd like to experience today, things of no great value. And what we are forgetting about is to have a mind that is on the causes that would lead to liberation, a mind on the causes that would lead to enlightenment. And those are what we have in our third line, the essence of making this life worthwhile. This life that we have all achieved, this precious human rebirth, has come about independent on causes. Those causes we ourselves accumulated in the past, which means we can recognize we have the capacity to accumulate them again. And we must accumulate them again. Because all that we are experiencing in this life, which has of course come from causes, those causes are exhausted. And if we don't accumulate similar causes again, our future lives will be more difficult. We can liken it, if at home the fridge is bare, we know we need to go shopping, otherwise we're going to have nothing to eat. So the store of virtue that led to this rebirth, that virtue is exhausted. So we need to be sure that our merit is amply restocked so that our future lives are at least similar favorable circumstances as this life. What we have in our third line, making it worthwhile. So this then refers to fulfilling our potential, accumulating the causes so as to ensure our future lives go well. So here we look at this in three ways. The first is to recognize at the very least we need to ensure a good rebirth in our future life. rebirth at least as good as this. So we need to accumulate those five causes. The fifth was prayer. And the first four are essential, and they are included in each of these three ways that we come to understand what a worthwhile life entails. So the first is ethical restraint. The second is generosity. The third is patience. And the fourth is joyous perseverance. These are required with prayer so as to ensure a good rebirth. But to make this life far more worthwhile than even that, going beyond the accumulation of causes for a good rebirth, but also accumulating the causes to attain liberation from suffering in its entirety, in addition to those four causes, one also needs to accumulate concentration and wisdom, making six. And the third aspect of a worthwhile life, or a meaningful life, is to take this understanding and apply it to the situation of others, recognizing the dire situation others are in, not having come to recognize the great potential of their life, nor living a life of great meaning, accumulating causes, despite desiring the results that would otherwise come. And in this way, generating love for them and compassion, generating that further into bodhicitta itself. And thereby, those causes of love and compassion and bodhicitta being conjoined with the other six of generosity, ethical restraint, patience, joyous perseverance, concentration and wisdom, we now have the full set of causes for enlightenment. This is how we live a meaningful or worthwhile life. The verse concludes with what we have at the beginning, please bless me. So here we have gone through in this meditation, reflecting on this precious human rebirth that is so precious, not merely because it's a human rebirth, but because it's marked with the 18 freedoms and endowments, or liberties and endowments. So there we reflected, generating the first key point of this meditation, which is to recognize the potential that we have achieved with this life, and that this potential is incredibly rare but valuable. It's found but once and is difficult to obtain. So this first part of the meditation is so important, to overcome this feeling of inadequacy that is so pervasive in society, this feeling of being quite small, of having very limited potential. Whereas when seen with wisdom, seen from a true perspective, we are all remarkable people, remarkable beings, in that we have this capacity that is untapped, unutilized, but is completely obtainable for us. It's not hidden, it's not far away, it's just here within our mind. So this is the first key point. The second then is that it's easily lost. And here this reminds us of that not only is death certain, but the time and the manner is uncertain. And it's not just that death will come, it's that our life is deteriorating. Our mental capacity, our physical capacity is deteriorating. Therefore, there isn't time to waste. We need to look at what we prioritize. We need to look at, do we really need to put the physical energy and the mental energy into the wide variety of activities that we do? We need to look at our priorities and include the Dharma there in a way where it is far more dominant than perhaps it has been thus far. Because in this way, we can make this life more worthwhile or meaningful by focusing our mind on accumulating the causes that will lead to good rebirths, liberation, and enlightenment. This is essential. This is how we partake of the essence of this life. But to do so, we have to overcome our distraction to meaningless affairs, things that have no great value, nothing beyond really the immediate impact in this life. So this is then the third key point, which follows from the first two, and is about changing our focus, changing what we value. And that brings us then to the conclusion of the verse, which for us is at the beginning, where now having given rise to determination to transform our lives, transform our minds, fulfill our potential, we turn to our Lama and request his blessings or inspiration so that through opening ourselves to his teachings and guidance and thereby and inspiration, we can overcome all obstacles that we have, in particular, in developing this way of thinking. To the extent we have generated this aspiration, we know from our experience it does fade, so therefore this is an obstacle. Here we make requests. Inspire me. Continue to inspire me so that when this aspiration, this determination wanes, that I can readily recognize that and reinvigorate it, and thereby overcome this and other obstacles and live a life of great meaning, fulfill my potential. The final line in the Tibetan is literally, partake of its essence, make it meaningful rather than worthwhile, make it meaningful, partake of its essence, and please bless me to do so. So this is how the verse concludes. And the meaning of making it worthwhile or meaningful, and as well as partaking of its essence, is, and thereby what we are turning to our Lama to for blessings about, is in relation to attaining skill and transformation of all the training shared with a practitioner of initial capacity, all the training shared with a practitioner of intermediate capacity, and all the trainings of a practitioner shared with all the trainings of a practitioner of supreme capacity, including those of the Vajrayana. So these then are presented from the very next verse up to, I think it's 114. All of those trainings now follow. And this then is setting the foundation combined with the previous verse so that we can cultivate all of these within ourselves. So thank you, and we'll conclude here for this week. Thank you very much.